Hi, I'm Dr. Tim Clinton for the James Dobson Family Institute. Who inspires you on matters of faith, family, and culture? If you don't already get it, sign up for Dr. Dobson's monthly newsletter at drjamesdobson.org. Each month, you're going to receive insight and news that impacts your family and solid advice that you can trust. Whether it's wisdom for parents, tips for building a lasting marriage, or discernment on issues your family may be facing, you're going to find direction, encouragement, and more every month. Visit drjamesdobson.org and sign up for that monthly newsletter today. And again, that's drjamesdobson.org. You'll be glad you did.
Today on Family Talk.
Welcome, everyone, to this Thursday edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and thanks so much for joining us all across our growing radio network. Did you know that this radio program is being aired in all 50 states across 1,300 outlets? In fact, we are excited to share that during the past year, we've actually added over 130 new stations. Dr. Dobson's insightful interviews and programs can now be heard in Denver, New York, Houston, and Washington, D.C., among other markets. To see where we're airing near you, use our station finder feature at drjamesdobson.org. This helpful tool can easily be found under the broadcast menu, by the way. Thanks so much for your continued support and your prayer as our ministry continues to grow. And with that, let's get to today's broadcast. The old nursery rhyme says that little girls are made of sugar and spice and everything nice. Now, there is some truth in that poem, but girls are much more complex than that, of course. On today's classic broadcast, Dr. Dobson addresses this topic alongside his book, Bringing Up Girls. Now, this program was recorded during Family Talk's first month of operation, shortly following the release of this timeless work. We're reaching back into our radio vault for this program because we believe it's still very applicable. Young women are constantly bombarded by negative messages from this culture. The very ideas of femininity, motherhood, love, and tenderness are being drastically warped in this society. It is a Christian parent's responsibility to guide their little girls into godly womanhood. Today, Dr. Dobson will break down the inherent emotional and mental design of girls. He also advises us dads on what we can do to better understand and relate to our daughters as well. Now, a quick note before we get started. Our former co-host, Lou Ann Crane, was originally part of this broadcast, and so as the conversation is led along, you'll hear her chiming in from time to time. Okay, let's listen now to this classic edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Now, we finally get to turn a corner and address your brand new book, Bringing Up Girls, which is flying off the shelves in both the secular and the Christian bookstores. It was released April 13th, a few weeks ago. It must be so gratifying to see that kind of response you're getting to this labor of love.
It was a labor of love because I really enjoy writing. It's the creative process. Some people see writing as very, very hard work, and in a sense it is when you get into all the research and everything you're trying to manage. But for me, writing is like an artist who goes out into the park and he sets up an easel and he paints there. He's not working. He's loving that creative process. I love that too. And for me, it's the process of starting with a blank page and putting your thoughts and ideas down and trying to weave them together. I really do think that's a lot of fun.
Well, I sure think you hit the target after all of that work, because the book is already on the New York Times bestsellers list in the advice section. Amazon had it listed, I think, 16 out of about 50,000 books just several days after it came out. It's really off to a fast start. It reminds me, Doctor, of one woman who was in here just recently who said she read the entire 285 pages in about 3.5 hours. And I know many of us who tried to contact you for the past 3.5 years kept being told that you were sequestered. You were literally away. So please, why did it take you so long to write this book?
Well, I've said in other interviews that I had about 3,500 pages of research and reference material.
Wow.
There is so much there. Child development is my field. That's where I did my work at USC. And years have passed since then, so I had to catch up with what's going on now. And there's just wonderful information coming out about boys and girls that fascinated me. So I needed to get back into the mainstream of the ideas that are coming out now and what's happening, my own observations and my own experience as a parent. There are 22 chapters in this book. Every one of them is kind of a monograph, which deals with a different aspect of these complex little creatures called girls. Hopefully all of those 22 chapters move in a straight line, and they're connected. One leads to the other, but they do deal with very different things.
Well, I was one of those complex little creatures that you referred to. Now, give us an idea of what some of these concepts are. Obviously, over the next few weeks and months, we are going to be delving specifically into some of them. But give us an overview of what's in this.
Well, I won't read them all, but let me just give you some of them so you get a flavor for it. The first chapter deals with the wonderful world of girls and what's going on with girls today. Second chapter is Girls in Peril. What's happening in the culture? What are the influences that are on them? And I'm very, very concerned about girls at that point. Now, the third chapter is called The Fair Sex. Yeah. What are those characteristics that make girls different from boys? And what did God do when he created not one sex, but he created two? The fourth chapter deals with why she is who she is. And it deals with the physiological, neurological, and hormonal differences between boys and girls, and especially the female brain. Chapter 5 is teaching girls to be ladies.
Oh, yes.
That's a subject we must talk about because the younger generation is being taught, girls too, to be crude and rude and profane, and parents really need to counter those influences and those messages. I'm going to hurry on. Girls and their mothers, young women talk about their fathers, why daddies matter. Mm. The obsession with beauty, good news about girls is not negative. There's a lot of good news there. Puberty and adolescence. And chapter 19 deals with bullies, buddies, and best friends. That's a very important chapter.
Something we will definitely be covering.
Yeah, no question about it. And to 21, protecting your daughter from invasive technology. And then the final chapter, chapter number 22, is the last word, I call it. And it deals with the spiritual development of your girls. Mm. And that's the most important chapter in the book.
And a great way to tie it up. It really is a journey as you meander through these various topics and the complex ways you've described us as women. Doctor, I know personally, if I can just say, when I completed reading the manuscript, which I had the privilege of reading, I just had this sense that you had restored dignity to me as a woman. And I just felt like you had brought back femininity, strength, honor, and dignity to women. So I just personally wanted to thank you for that.
Well, you know, Lou Anne, that that comment means a lot to me because that's one of the things I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. We've lost something. Masculinity has been invaded. And that's what I tried to write about in bringing up boys. I mean, the culture has had a very deleterious impact on boys, and it's done the same thing to girls. We've confused what it means to be male and female at any age, and I was attempting to go back to the biblical model.
Let's harken back to one of those chapters you referred to, Doctor, specifically The Fair Sex. That's a curious title. What were you getting at there?
Well, as I said, that's one of my favorite chapters in the book, and it deals with the fact that God made little girls and little boys delightfully different, and men and women very dramatically different. And for a period of time, our culture decided there were no differences, that it somehow worked to the disadvantage of women to be female, as though somehow that's inferior. But that is dead wrong. In my book, I described masculinity and femininity. Can I read what I said there? I said a male has up to 20 times more testosterone than a female, which is why his play often involves running, jumping, roughhousing, grabbing hair, making loud noises, playing with cars and trucks and airplanes and tanks. He finds it really funny to pass gas. I talked about the fact that some kids refer to that as an SBD, a silent but deadly. He likes to throw things and fire toy guns, bang, bang, or shoot cucumbers or carrots or anything that looks vaguely like a gun. Testosterone is the driver for it all. It is the reason his mother, who loves him dearly, has her hands full trying to keep him from killing himself. He is a boy, after all. That's what boys do.
And I live with three of them in my house, and you've just described the Crane household.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know that very well.
Okay, because the female brain is not subjected to a comparable surge of testosterone in the womb and beyond, its communicative and emotional centers remain intact. In fact, these structures will grow larger and become better networked neurologically. A girl's corpus callosum, which is the rope of nerve fibers that runs from the left brain to the right brain, is up to 25% larger than a male's, and it becomes an 8-lane superhighway capable of carrying great quantities of emotional information from one side of the brain to the other. For boys, it's a country road. As a result, a girl is likely to be more expressive and emotional than most boys, almost from birth. She'll probably feel things more deeply and respond to subtle cues in her environment that boys are likely to miss. She'll be far better at reading character and motives in others, although she probably won't be able to explain how she does it. She'll also cry more often, even as an adult. Every man knows that, and he's typically rattled by it. She is a girl, after all. That's what girls do. So those are just some basic temperamental differences between the two. But in the fair sex, I talk about this tender, compassionate side of girls that is less evident in boys. I even quoted a couple of songs that get at that, the lyrics. We can't share them all, but one of them goes back to the movie Gigi, and Alan J. Lerner and Frederick Lowe wrote a little song that said, "Thank heaven for little girls, for little girls get bigger every day. Thank heaven for little girls, they grow up in the most delightful way." Now, boys are treasures too, and I spent 3 years talking about boys and what makes them tick. But the female of the species captures our hearts in a different way. It's their sensitivity and their tenderness that's so charming. There's another song with lyrics that I love. This goes clear back to the 1930s. It was written by Irving King and Harry M. Woods, and it's called "Try a Little Tenderness." Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard that song?
I haven't, no.
Oh, you haven't? My goodness. You're so young. The lyrics say, "She may be weary, women do get weary, wearing the same shabby dress, and when she's weary, try a little tenderness."
Oh, yeah.
"She may be waiting, just anticipating things that she may never possess, and while she's without them, try a little tenderness." You've never heard that?
I'm sorry, but I like it. I like it, and I would agree with
song.
It.
Yeah.
It's amazing what a hug will do for me as a mom.
Yeah, and a woman needs that, and a man needs to understand that. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Little girls need it, too.
They sure do. Now, Doctor, you have admitted in the book that girls are not always sugar and spice and everything nice. In fact, they can be pretty difficult at times.
Well, they can, and I don't want to super romanticize these characteristics. Girls not only possess a compassionate and a gentle spirit, typically, but let's face it, they can be catty and rebellious and downright brutal to their peers. Mm-hmm. All of us as human beings, both males and females, are capable of exhibiting the best and worst of characteristics. And so no one is free from this dark side. Mm-hmm. But there is something about femininity that is softer and gentler and more compassionate. And we need to bring it out in our girls. We ought to give it an opportunity to express itself.
And doctor, all of the women listening right now are just smiling and glowing and thinking, thank you, that's exactly us. However, I bet there are some dads or some husbands out there going, I don't get this.
Well, they're capable of understanding it. And that's why I wrote about it. I was not just writing for women. I'm writing for dads and fathers, too. And they do need to understand that their girls need something different from them than their boys do. Let me give you an example of it. When our daughter was a little girl, and of course she's now grown, we were taking a car trip one time, and we made many stops along the way, you can be sure of that. And we pulled into a service station one night. It was about 5 o'clock at night. Sun was starting to go down. And while I was pumping gas, a cute little lonely stray dog wiggled up to us and became our friend. And he wanted to go with us. And Danae absolutely loved that little dog. And she wanted to take him with us. And of course, we couldn't do that. We were staying in hotels and motels, and it was hot. And you just can't pick up a stray dog. You don't even know if he's healthy or whatever it is. Besides that, we already had a wonderful dog. So sometimes moms and dads have to do the difficult thing and say no.
Oh, you didn't.
And we did. And so I kind of had to shoo him back a little bit, and I closed the door in order for us to leave. And that little dog was lonely, and he followed us. And as we drove out of the service station and out onto the highway, he was running as fast as he could to catch up with us. He needed a friend. Mm-hmm. You know, he needed a family. And he adopted us, but we didn't adopt him. My daughter was heartbroken. I mean, she wept. She said, Dad, he's alone back there. Who's going to take care of him tonight? Who's going to feed him? He might get hit on the highway. Go back and get him. And she just wept. She absolutely wept. She was tender to that little dog. Now, I'm a dog lover, too. All of us in our family are dog lovers. But for Danae, it was something different. She was crushed in spirit. And after I wrote that story in my book, I let Danae read it the next day. And I just said, I just wonder if you remember that. She not only remembered it all those years later, she's still ticked about the fact that I didn't go back and get that dog, because that's the way she's made. Yeah. There's something inside of her that's easily touched and moved by anything that would hurt, whether it be human or just a little dog and an animal. It is why today, Luann, Danae rather regularly goes to nursing homes where older women are 85 or 90 or 95 years of age, and she goes in there to pray with them and hold their hand and show love for them. There is a nature in her that is not so evident in Ryan, although he's a good guy too, and he cares about people too. But there's a femininity in that that we should cultivate. It's a good thing. It's a God-honoring thing, and it was a God-designed thing.
Thank you once again for saying that, because, Doctor, for some reason right now, the culture does not value those kinds of traits anymore.
Well, you know, coming out of the late 60s, and you won't identify with this either, but the political climate of the culture in that day began to emphasize only masculine characteristics. And women saw it to their political disadvantage to show any sign of what they saw as weakness or vulnerability. And so that was suppressed. And it still is to a large degree today. And if you just spend time around girls in the middle school years or after, you see them with these masculine characteristics overemphasized and the feminine underemphasized. Please understand, I'm not referring to weakness here. It is not a matter of weakness. Femininity and strength are linked together. And I come from a long line of very, very strong women. That's not what I'm talking about. And I'm certainly not implying that we should roll back the cultural clock and take away from women the independence that they've achieved and the ability to use all the talent that's within them. So that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about preserving basic femininity, and that's what I'm talking about in The Fair Sex.
Well, Doctor, there's a mom listening right now whose middle school daughter is going to walk through that front door dressed masculine, tough, rugged, even a little bit dark, and the mom would love to see some of these feminine traits come through, but she doesn't know how to reach her.
Well, we're out of time, Luann, but I talked about that in the book. The basic thing is that you have to allow her to feel. Hmm. It's okay to feel. Encourage her when she begins to express these things inside of her, the compassion and the kindness and the care and the femininity. You can bring it out. You don't have to necessarily teach it like you're giving a course, but you can give expression to it. And you do that by modeling. Mm-hmm. As a mother, you show her your own compassion and tenderness. We'll talk about that some more next time.
This is Roger Marsh once again, and what a practical and insightful edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Even though this broadcast is nearly a decade old, we hope that you've been blessed by it. If you haven't already picked up your copy of Dr. Dobson's book, Bringing Up Girls, we encourage you to visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. Once you're there, you'll find a link to request this timeless work. Again, that's drjamesdobson.org. In Bringing Up Girls, Dr. Dobson provides incredible wisdom for parents on how to raise their daughters in a God-honoring way. So go to drjamesdobson.org and then click on the broadcast icon to learn how you can order your copy. While you're online, be sure you also check out the Dobson Digital Library at dobsonlibrary.com. Now, this is our complete inventory of Dr. Dobson's work over the last 40 years. We've cataloged all of his articles, every blog, every newsletter, and every past radio program as resources just for you. You can also search under the Marriage, Faith, Parenting, and Culture tabs to find what you need as well. So stop looking elsewhere for practical tools and insights to help you and your family. Make sure you take advantage of Dr. Dobson's years of knowledge at dobsonlibrary.com. That's dobsonlibrary.com. Finally, did you know that Family Talk is a listener-supported ministry? It's true. Your generous financial contributions fuel our efforts to reach hurting and struggling families worldwide. And as the Dobson Family Institute continues to grow, we need your help now more than ever before. Visit drjamesdobson.org to learn how you can partner with us today. That's drjamesdobson.org. Or if you prefer, you can call us at 877-732-7255. 6825. That's 877-732-6825. Thanks so much for your prayers for Dr. Dobson and your continued assistance in the ministry of Family Talk. Well, be sure to join us again tomorrow, and you'll hear the conclusion of Dr. Dobson's message based on his book, Bringing Up Girls. Here's just a quick sample of what he'll be addressing on our next program.
There is this tendency for many women to doubt their value, doubt their worth. It's the downside of the vulnerability that we were talking about last time, with this tenderness and this compassion that is more characteristic of girls than boys, but it also leads to less confidence. And it should be possible to be a woman and know who you are and let your little girls know who they are without falling victim to that sense of self-doubt.
Very true. Confidence and self-worth are crucial to any woman's identity. If either of those areas are damaged or undervalued, it could set a girl down a dangerous path. We'll be talking about that and so much more next time right here on Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. I hope you'll join us then.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Tim Clinton. Thank you so much for listening today to Family Talk, a radio production of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I wanted to take a moment to tell you a little bit about our growing ministry here. This new institute is continuing Dr. Dobson's life work by fighting for marriages and families. It's no secret that our Christian values are under attack, and we must stand up for righteousness and biblical truth unashamedly. We believe this new institute is doing just that. I urge you, take a moment, would you, to learn more at the DobsonFamilyInstitute.com. DobsonFamilyInstitute.com. Aside from our Family Talk broadcast, there are three other divisions through which we're continuing this legacy of work. The first one is our educational partnerships with colleges and universities to encourage the next generation. Secondly is the Dobson Policy Center. It keeps you informed on how the political arena influences the family. And lastly is our online collection of all of Dr. Dobson's work in the Dobson Digital Library. We're excited here at JDFI for this expansion. We hope you'll partner with us. Go to DobsonFamilyInstitute.com and discover more about each of these divisions, maybe how you can be a part. Thanks for standing with us, and thanks for being a friend of the family.